is Graham Mount, Professor Emeritus of Laurentian University's Department of History in Sudbury, Ontario, and this is the second in a series of podcasts about travels in search of history. Podcast number one dealt with an unforeseen stumble into late medieval Scotland. Podcast number two deals with another unforeseen experience, an opportunity to witness history in the making along the boundary between Costa Rica and Nicaragua in Central America. For further information and accompanying photographs, see my recently published book, Historic Pictures, Photos of Places in Transition, published in Toronto by Tellwell in 2025. See also my article, Costa Rica and the Cold War, published in the autumn 2015 edition of the Canadian Journal of History. During my 36 years of teaching history at the university level, I was privileged to travel widely to interesting places and to meet interesting people. Among those people were key members of Costa Rica's diplomatic corps, as well as diplomats from other countries accredited to Costa Rica. After retirement, my wife Joan and I taught in Nicaraguan schools during six Canadian winters. Air Canada flew to the Costa Rican capital, San Jose, but not to Nicaragua. We would fly to San Jose, visit and consult with diplomats there, then travel by bus to Grenada, Nicaragua. From Grenada, we would return by bus to San Jose, associate with Costa Rican diplomats, and then return to Toronto. One of the diplomatic realities of Spanish America, one which does not receive much publicity in other parts of the world, is that many countries have a less than friendly relationship with one or more of their immediate neighbors. A consequence is that most countries have a very good relationship with their neighbor's neighbor. Long-term relations between Nicaragua and Costa Rica have been unfriendly. It is important to note that Nicaragua has experienced some of the Western Hemisphere's most authoritarian, arguably evil, governments, whereas Costa Rica is and has been one of the most stable democracies. As Spain's empire in the Americas disintegrated, Central America, including both Nicaragua and Costa Rica, briefly remained part of independent Mexico. Central America seceded in 1823 and disintegrated 15 years later. The five successor states lacked clearly defined boundaries, and both Costa Rica and Nicaragua claimed what is now the Costa Rican province of Guanacaste. In 1858, negotiators from both countries, Jose Maria Cañas from Costa Rica and Maximo Jerez from Nicaragua, reached a compromise. Guanacaste would henceforth be Costa Rican, but the entire San Juan River, Rio San Juan, which separates the two countries, would belong to Nicaragua. The boundary would not run down the middle of the river or at the point of the deepest channel. Costa Rican sovereignty would end at the water's edge, the south shore of the river. Clarifications in the 1880s and 1890s, arbitrated by U.S. President Grover Cleveland, permitted commercial vessels from Costa Rica to use the river at will, but required Costa Rican military vessels to obtain approval from Nicaraguan authorities. This the Nicaraguans did not always grant. For more than 40 years, from 1937 to 1979, members of the kleptomaniac Somoza family, father Anastasio, older son Luis, younger son Anastasio Jr., governed Nicaragua. Not surprisingly, governments which plundered the public treasury had violent opponents. Early in 1953, enemies of Anastasio the father crossed the border from Nicaragua to Costa Rica, intending to launch an armed rebellion and to assassinate Somoza. Somoza's National Guard wiped them out, and Somoza accused the Costa Rican government of complicity. He even accused Costa Rican President Jose Figueres of personal involvement in an assassination plot. Soon the roles were reversed. In July 1954, Costa Rican insurgents attacked a bank in a coffee-growing area near San Jose. In order to evade police, the bandits fled to Nicaragua. Nicaraguan authorities not only refused to arrest them, Nicaraguan Foreign Minister Oscar Sevilla Sacasa said, if President Figueres wants war, he will have it. The patience of our government is not unlimited. Nicaragua then closed the Rio San Juan to Costa Rican traffic. By 1977, a Nicaraguan civil war between supporters of the Somoza family against Sandinistas, supported by Cuba, East Germany, and the Soviet Union, had spilled over the border into Costa Rica. As he left office in 1978, Costa Rican Foreign Minister Gonzalo J. Facchio estimated that 80,000 Nicaraguan opponents of the Somozas had entered Costa Rica illegally. From Costa Rica, Sandinistas attacked targets in Nicaragua, and Somozistas, supporters of the Somozas, launched raids of hot pursuit. Costa Rican President Rodrigo Carazo, president from 1978 to 82, quietly welcomed the Sandinista victory in 1979, but that too proved problematic. US President Ronald Reagan disliked the Sandinistas' allies and enabled their opponents, the Contras, to attack Nicaragua from Costa Rica. After Oscar Arias became president of Costa Rica on the 8th of May, 1986, the Contras launched 163 attacks against Sandinista-controlled Nicaragua. In 1987, Arias won the Nobel Peace Prize because of his efforts to end the violence, but more important was the end of the Cold War. The Soviet Union reduced the flow of weapons to Cuba, which in turn had to curtail what it was sending to Nicaragua. The Sandinistas' other communist ally, the so-called German Democratic Republic, East Germany, ceased to exist in October 1990. Joan and I gained our personal window on the history of Nicaraguan Costa Rican relations in the post-Cold War period. Cross-border tensions became particularly acute during the Costa Rican presidency of Laureth Chinchilla, president from 2010 to 2014, and whose presidency coincided with that of Nicaragua's rogue president, Daniel Ortega, then serving his third term. In 1987, during Ortega's first term, 1984 to 1990, Nicaragua adopted a new constitution, Article 147, of which limited the number of terms any one individual could serve to two. Eager for a third term and many more, during his second term, 2006 to 2010, Ortega argued that Article 147 was incompatible with Article 27, which guaranteed equality to all Nicaraguans. If all other Nicaraguans were eligible to seek the presidency in 2011, and he could not, he said, he would not be receiving equal treatment. Nicaragua's Supreme Court agreed with him. It made sense for Ortega to defuse the resulting controversy by provoking an international crisis. Ortega's opportunity came in October 2010, when Google Earth released a map that misplaced the border between the two countries and allotted Portillo's Islands at the mouth of the Rio San Juan to Nicaragua. Ortega sent his army to occupy Portillo's Island, and Costa Rican authorities protested. Google admitted its error, and under international pressure, the Nicaraguan army retreated to indisputably Nicaraguan territory. However, Sandinista Youth, the youth division of Ortega's political party, supplemented by older men with army haircuts and army boots, continued to occupy Portillo's Island under the watchful eye of the nearby Nicaraguan army. Since 1948, Costa Rica has had no army, and the Chinchilla government took the matter to the International Court of Justice in The Hague. It also built a road along the Costa Rican shore in what had been a neglected part of the country. Nicaraguan authorities and media denounced the road as an environmental monstrosity. But if Ortega denied permission, as he did, to Costa Rican police boats to patrol the river, the Chinchilla government had little choice. Ortega even threatened to reopen the Nicaraguan case, a claim to Guanacaste. In March 2012, while the International Court of Justice was considering the dispute, the Costa Rican Foreign Office chartered a bus to take diplomats from San Jose, Costa Rica's capital, to the south shore of the Rio San Juan. Ambassadors from most of the countries which had diplomatic relations with Costa Rica accepted the invitation, but nobody from the Nicaraguan embassy would go. Friends in the Costa Rican diplomatic corps invited Joan and me to fill those empty seats, and we accepted. Along with the diplomats, Joan and I witnessed changes which Ortega had unwittingly provoked. Children held Costa Rican flags in their hands as we entered newly built schools. In the absence of roads, most of those children had never seen a bus. As a special treat, they entered ours. Isabel Montero, a high-level Costa Rican diplomat, sighed, quote, "Someday the people of this region may erect a monument to Eden Pastora, the Nicaraguan who led the invasion. If he had not come, all this development would not have happened," unquote. During the presidency of Chinchilla's successor, Luis Guillermo Solís, president from 2014 to 2018, the International Court of Justice ruled in favor of Costa Rica and ordered Nicaragua to pay reparations because of damages resulting from the occupation. Through control of the media and imprisonment of political opponents, Ortega claimed victory in the presidential elections of 2011, 2016, and 2021. Before his supposed victory in 2021, Ortega imprisoned all seven opposition presidential candidates. As Ortega served his fifth term, his wife, Rosario Murillo, was Nicaragua's vice president. In the words of the prestigious British news magazine, The Economist, eight of Ortega's nine sons and daughters had, quote, "a plum government job," unquote.